This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's the trauma of the act itself, and then there's the trauma that settles afterward. The kind that creeps into your neighborhood, your routines, your parenting, and your peace of mind. This one didn't just affect a family, it hit a whole community. And for a lot of people, it shattered the illusion that this place, this safe, scenic, family-friendly corner of the world, was immune from horror. I talked to parents who've let their kids play out by the creek behind their home for years, mine included. I've watched families, including my own, enjoy these trails, these woods, thinking this was one of the last places left where kids could still be kids without fear. And now that sense of freedom, that security we all quietly relied on, has been fractured. Maybe permanently. So what does that do to a community? What does that do to how we parent? How do we function? How do we decide what's safe and what isn't? Today, I'm joined again by psychotherapist and trauma expert Siobhan Scott, and we're talking about the collective trauma that comes after something like this, not just the shock, not just the grief, but the long-term recalibration of what safety even means. We discuss the psychology of parental fear, how trauma can shift entire communities into a state of low-grade anxiety, and how to distinguish healthy caution from paralyzing paranoia. And we get into one of the most haunting pieces of this case, that final moment when Clinton was stabbed and Kristen turned to the attacker and asked, "Why are you doing this?" Before telling the children to run as far and fast as they could. This wasn't just instinct. That was sacrifice. That was parenting at the edge of human endurance. And it tells us something about what she knew and what she didn't. Let's get into it. We're not trying to play a game of, you know, who had the most trauma here, because clearly those children win the award for that, award nobody ever would want to get. But there is a thing as communal trauma, where a community feels it at the same time. And I would say that that's a big thing here right now, because this is a very family-oriented community. People come here because of the lifestyle, because it's very safe, because there are very good schools, because you can live in relative safety and not fear for your life. I'm certainly questioning some of my own rules of letting my child run around in the neighborhood. And an interesting thing in this area for me is I've been, you know, and I'd say a helicopter parent, but I have in time relaxed some of the anxiety of that with society. And in past years, I've let my daughter go out and play in the back, go in actually to the woods, which are in the back, to go play with a friend and play by the creek and play literally by one of these trails. And, you know, lovely times. It's childhood memories. It's fun stuff. It's things I remember looking back on and having some of the fondest memories of childhood, playing in the creek with friends and getting crayfish or crawfish.
Me too. And parents just let us out in the morning and come back at dark. And we were all over.
And I loved that for my daughter, because it's like she's getting a little taste of something that really doesn't exist. But in this community, it's felt very safe to do that. This kind of shatters that sense of safety. Should it shatter that sense of safety? Because we're just not in that world. And no matter how safe we feel in a community, maybe we're just not, and we shouldn't be able to, we just can't do those things anymore. I mean, how does a community deal with something like this? What is an overreaction to something like this? I mean, where it evolves from avoidance to paranoia?
That is such a hard thing to answer. And it's something that I think every parent has to sit with and talk through and think about on a case-by-case basis. I recently had a friend in Oakland, California, which is not known as a particularly safe place, who was letting his four-year-old go out and wander down the city street under this parenting philosophy of free-range parenting. Let the kids go, and you know, we're too protective of them and all of that. the kid had a little, he put his name tag on him and the phone number, but it was like this exercise in, we're going to help him feel powerful in the world that he can go wander around outside. Well, the police brought him back. Yeah. Somebody called CPS on him. And I have to say, I would have too, yeah. you know, I agreed with that. And his theory was, well, most kids are molested by family members. Okay, statistically, that's true. But it only takes one predator on the street with your cute little four-year-old yeah. to have a disaster happen. And so people will have very different feelings about it. And yes, I think there are people who overdo it in both directions, and probably finding some kind of middle ground is the best zone, but every community is different. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard one. I think definitely not letting kids go places alone increases the odds that they're going to be safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a little kid, you know, 5 years old, I was riding my little bike all over town and, yeah. and, you know, but then did in middle school, did start having some bad incidents happen mm-hmm. with older men. And so, sure. Yeah, yeah, it's a tough call for parents.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it does shatter probably somewhat of a false sense of safety. Even when they do find the guy, which I feel like they will. There's a lot of information out there on this person. Even when they do find this person, that sense is still shattered for a lot of people, for a community. Do mm-hmm. you, I mean... Do you get that back? Can you get that back? Do you want to get that back? Should you get that back? Or is this kind of a reality check of yeah, it's a dangerous place out there. Yeah. Even here where things have been relatively safe, there's people out there that are willing to do whatever.
Yeah, there definitely are. And a lot of murders and bad things that happen to kids happen in rural areas. There are more mass shootings in rural areas than there are in urban areas, interestingly. So I lean on the side of caution, mm-hmm. and I struggle with that same thing. I don't have grandkids. Sometimes I'm grateful I don't have grandkids because I would worry about them all the time if I did.
Sure.
And, you know, it's one of those difficult things with modern life is how do we move through the world feeling safe? And the other thing is there have always been a certain amount of bad things that happen. But mm-hmm. now because of the media and the internet, we know about all of it when it yeah. happens. Yeah. And so that increases our sense of danger that, yeah. you know, there's really no safe place.
I mean, obviously this community where it happened in here, where I'm at, is feeling it. But now anybody who's watching this anywhere is going to be thinking about hiking and like, yeah. oh, maybe we're going to go to IKEA this weekend instead of the hiking trail.
I was thinking about it. I was doing the same thing. We've got all kinds of hiking trails in Oregon, and you can be out far away and never run into another person. And it's like, I don't think I'd feel comfortable doing that right now.
No, I mean, honest to God, it was running through my mind that day, but then I looked at the temperature and said, yeah, no, we're going to go not do that. We're going to go in the pool instead. But there's one other piece of this that I wanted to pass by you and get your thoughts on. And that's the moment as to which the horrific incident took place where the man came up to the family and stabbed Clinton in the chest. Kristen, allegedly, according to the kids in our reporting here, said, "Why are you doing this?" I'm just going to leave it at that. Why are you doing this? What do you make out of that message and those words from Kristen to the attacker as it was happening, and then urging her children to run fast and as mm-hmm. far as you can? Mm-hmm. Notice she didn't run as fast and as far mm-hmm. as she can with the kids. She stayed there. Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Does that tell you anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells me that she did not know this person.
Okay.
And that... I mean, that would be the first thing that would pop into my head. Could I be wrong on that? Sure, I could be.
Sure.
But you know, you would think if this was someone that you had a stalker or a vendetta with them, that, you know, you would have had some inkling of why they were doing it. This is the guy that's been following us around or whatever. But the fact that she told the kids to run, good mom, protective. That was the best thing that she could have done. And she probably wanted to protect her husband. I mean, that would have been my inclination too. Can I fight? Can I do something physically? You know, even if that was completely not in reality, but that was probably her instinct at that point, was to try to help.
I'm also going to guess on this one, that it was run as far and fast as you can, because mom's going to stay back here and I'm going to distract this guy to make sure he doesn't go after you. Because
Because
if she didn't tell the kids to run, if she stayed there and got attacked too, then the kids would have been there. And God knows. Yeah. I mean, does this read to you like this guy was targeting just the parents and the kids just happened to get away? Or, you know, was it, let's take out the parents and then do something with the kids?
Could have been either way.
Yeah.
Could have been either way. And when he's caught, and if he'll open up about what was this bizarre fantasy that he was enacting, it'll all make sense if he'll open up and talk about it.
There's a reason this case is hitting so hard for people who've never even met the Brinks. It's because it's tore open something we don't like to talk about. That the world is far less safe than we pretend it is. That even in the quietest towns, on the happiest trails, there are people capable of unimaginable violence. And that sometimes we don't see it coming until it's too late. What Siobhan Scott laid out today wasn't just about individual trauma. It was about communal recalibration. It was about how events like this shift our behavior, our trust, and our willingness to let kids run free in the woods ever again. Doesn't mean we're broken. It means we're human. And once you see the world tilt like that, you can't unsee it. We also talked about the mind of the killer and how this attack doesn't read like randomness. It reads like ritual, like fantasy, like a story in someone's head that had been written long before it was acted out. Tapping the plates, dressing all in black, wearing or walking into family space with no attempt to blend in. That's not improvisation. That's performance. And it wasn't for us. It was for him. Kristen's final words, why are you doing this, weren't just the last words of a mother trying to make sense of the impossible. They were the clearest indicator we had that this wasn't someone the family knew. She didn't scream his name. She didn't say, I knew you'd come. She asked a question no one in her world had the answer to. And she stayed back to make sure her kids had a shot at getting one. That's not courage. That's clarity. That's instinct on fire. This community will heal eventually, but the illusion is gone. The safety we thought we had, we'll have to rebuild it from scratch. And the only way we do that is by talking about it, preparing for it, and never again pretending that this kind of evil is something that happens somewhere else. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us there. You can find our podcasts the same way. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we cover for you right here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. Do leave us a comment on YouTube. Let us know your thoughts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.